Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In his message titled, In the Wilderness Away, Reverend David Williams tells us that life can feel overwhelming at times. We need to come together and help each other so we are better prepared for the walk down the path the Lord intends for us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. There is so much more that happens in this season here as we rush towards the end of the year, towards Christmas so close, towards so many deadlines, towards so much that presses in on us. And in the thicket of all of that, life can feel like chaos. And layered on top of that are all those other parts of our lives. Old memories that we have, some of them good, some of them wistful and hard, of relationships that are no longer there, of things we wish were and are not. And with all of this coming together all at once, it can feel hard to make our way through this season. It can feel like too much. It can feel like a wilderness. Right now, let's admit that sometimes this time feels that way. And that sometimes it's hard for us to feel God's presence in these moments. Let's admit that through our prayer of confession. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious and loving God, finding our path in the chaos of this world can be hard. As we try to hold it together, our lives can sometimes feel like a wilderness place in which we struggle to find meaning and sustenance. We know there must be a way through those barriers, Lord, but it feels so often beyond us. Open our eyes, Lord. In Christ, please guide us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from Mark's Gospel. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. That's Mark 1, 1 through 8. You can find that on page 34 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's Word. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations and the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here. Grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This week I went to see a movie with my wife. And we've had a lot of time over the course of the last 2 years to go see movies, as I work here part-time, and she has been self-employed. And that's worked out all right, mostly because it's given us time in the middle of the week to go to nice empty theaters and see movies. And this week we had talked about going to go see a movie that I thought would work perfectly with today's message. Wild. We're in the wilderness, and we're going to go see Wild with Reese Witherspoon, and I was sure there were going to be all sorts of wonderful messages coming out of that. And then we went to see Birdman instead, and that didn't work so well. But we wanted to see that film. There's something fascinating about wilderness for us, fascinating about the idea of taking ourselves, getting out of our commonplace day-to-day life and stepping into the reality of nature, getting out there into the world where it's not managed, where we can encounter the real in a way that our world often doesn't offer up. We have this tendency, ensconced in the comfort of our homes and our neatly managed and structured lives, to think about wilderness, about wildness in romantic ways. Well, step outside and look at the moon and the stars, at the loveliness of trees and flowing brooks, and we imagine ourselves out there in nature, wonderful natural creatures cavorting through woodlands, dancing with llamas and majestic moose, and we think, oh, we are so much a part of the beauty of all of this, we think dreamily. If we think that too much, we wander off into the woods, and there we have to watch for things like bears, where we become part of the bear. It's not a good thing. There's also a tendency, I think in men particularly, to imagine that we are strong and we are fierce and we are part of nature. We are powerful individuals, loners, rebels. Wilderness is a challenge to be sought, something that we in our big, mighty man strength will overcome. We are born to be wild. And if we push that too far, it also ends up with us being eaten by bears. Wilderness is not forgiving of our romantic notions about it. It's something we forget so easily. Has anyone ever read John Krakauer's Into the Wilderness? Anyone ever read that? I commend it to you if you have not, and if you don't even feel like a book, there's a wonderful movie on the subject about a young man who trains and trains and trains and prepares himself to go out into the Alaskan wilderness to survive for a season. And, you know, he's in his 20s. I mean, he's optimal. This is like, you know, and he's trained and practiced and studied how to survive, and he knows how to hunt, and he knows, and he almost made it. Almost. And it's the story of his life and the mystery of how this young man, so prepared, didn't quite make it through the season. I commend that book to your reading because it's a reminder that once we step outside of the boundaries of our, in this life, very carefully managed relationship with the wild, chaotic energies of this creation God has made, we discover it's not that forgiving and that we are small and fragile and taste like chicken. It does not take much to remind us of the power of the wild. Years ago, my family went on a trip to encounter a particularly beautiful part of God's creation. This was when my parents were living in West Africa, and Nigeria has some hard places, but it still has some places of untouched beauty. And one of those places was a full three-quarter day travel south from my parents' compound in Ibadan, down into the Delta province of Nigeria, to a place on the Abraka River. And the Abraka is a really strange river. It's unusual because you think a river and you think mud and you think clay and you think the River Jordan and you think the Potomac, which you can go in, but the Abraka River pours out of the ground in one place. There's an immense spring. All around there's nothing, and then suddenly there's a river. And it is clear as crystal. It is all spring water. And it comes out like right under this tree, which is like something out of Avatar. It's this amazing place. And that river runs perfectly clear for miles and miles before it finally gets polluted. It's beautiful. It's so clear that this is deep. This river is 3 to 5 meters deep. Which, all right, Americans, how much is that? Anyone? It's deep. Your feet can't touch the bottom. It's plenty deep. And so we went to see it. We went to this place where we could stay at the riverside, and then we were told, you know, you can actually go and ride down this river. And there's no development, there's nothing for miles and miles on either side. It's just perfect jungle, untouched with this crystal clear river running down the center of it. So we say, awesome, how do we do that? And I say, well, here are these giant truck tubes. You know, this being West Africa, they were actually giant truck inner tubes. And all you've got to do is go upstream to the bridge. It's not that far. Put in and ride down, and it is beautiful. And so we thought, okay, we rented them for nothing, functionally, and we went and loaded them into the back of the Diplomatic Corps up-armored Chevy Suburban that we drove everywhere, and asked our driver, get us to the bridge. And he said, okay, where's the bridge? And we said, we have no idea, it's the closest one. And so he said, all right, and he took out his map, and he found the closest bridge. And so he took us to the closest bridge, which was a couple miles up along dirt roads and then another major road, and there it was, a nice suspension bridge, you know, like right up over what passed for highways in West Africa. And we unloaded the Suburban, and we put the tubes in the water, and we smiled at the people nearby who were looking at us strangely, who were these Oyibo, they call anyone who is not from that region. And it was so beautiful. That water was so clear all the way down, where you could see fish swimming at the very bottom of the river, right below you, like they were suspended in glass. Like you could just reach and touch them, they were so close. And we rode for a minute, and the bridge was beyond us. And then there was nothing. There were no people. There was no humanity and nothing. No sounds, no jets, no cars, just the river and the forest around us, lush, perfect, unspoiled, branches of trees hanging down from the water, animals dancing furtively right out of sight. And we drifted as a family down that river, and it was a good family bonding moment. We said, you know, look, you know, there's, you'd see a monkey of some sort. Look, I think I saw that. And there'd be birds we'd never seen. And it was amazing. And we drifted for 5 minutes. We drifted for 10. And the river started getting narrower, and it started getting faster, and then narrower still. And then it started zagging back and forth, where it sort of followed the path that was clear, but not quite, and much of it was flowing through the woods. And then we came around a bend, and the water didn't stop flowing, but there was no river to be seen. It was just flowing right towards a big patch of jungle. And then we were in a big patch of jungle, which is not quite as pretty when you're part of it. We were flowing fast because we were right in the thick of the flow through what we decided, we didn't know the official name, we decided it was called razor grass because it cut and through dense thickets of thorny vines, and we realized we had been told this was a 15-minute float, and we'd been in for about half an hour. And we were not in the right place at all. And it got thicker, and there were more trees and more tangles and more thorns, and we tried, and again, we're in water that's deeper than this room, which is flowing quickly through a jungle which is filled with thorns and razors, and my father, trying to help my mom out of a tangle, gets a giant slash across one of his arms, and then it's flowing faster, and then my brother's tube pops a leak as he's trying to get out of a thorny thicket, and we don't know where we are, besides that we are in the jungle, in the water, deeper than we can stand, and then a thorn bursts my inner tube, which falls away. I can see it all the way as it drifts down and down, and I'm swimming in very cold spring water in the middle of the jungle, surrounded by thorns, with my family all around me, and we're bleeding and we're leaking, and we don't know how far we are away from where we need to go, and we don't know when we'll get there. And we know there are no people around, and our driver has gone off for the day because, you know, he was done. We are not expected. And so I swam in the cold water, and we paddled, and we extracted ourselves, and we paddled some more, and we worked together, and we helped each other out, and we tried to stay in the flow because we knew somewhere down that river there was where we were supposed to go. But in that moment, we were just in a wilderness, and we didn't know when we were going to get out. That turned out to be about 20 minutes later, when the river opened up again and we could see the edges. And I swam the whole time, like hanging on to one tube or another. And 10 minutes after that, we came to this little footbridge. It was just a log, like a cross, you know, sort of mounted up, about 500 yards from the hotel, which was the bridge we were supposed to have started from in the first place. Wildness, real wildness, even 45 minutes of it. I mean, that time really wasn't that long in the scheme of things, is a lot less fun than we pretend. It's not a place we go as tourists. It's a place we go carefully. And today we hear a story about wildness, about a place of wilderness, about John the Baptist out there in the wilderness. And he's not out there as a tourist. He's not out there for his health. He's not out there because he has this dreamy idea about the beauty of the Judean desert where he's going to spend some time. He's not there for romantic reasons. He is out there in the wilderness for the same reason that the people of Israel would seek out wilderness, to seek out desert. There was a place you could stand in relationship with the I am that I am, the God that they knew. And they knew, in ways that I think we can forget, that this is a shattering and shaking experience. The wilderness is not a place you enter lightly. And what John was looking for there was not solace. He was not looking for distraction or looking to take a couple of nice, you know, selfies of himself out there in the desert. Because he knows that wilderness, wild, chaotic places, are neither tame nor safe. And Judean desert scrubland is harsh, and it is hot, and it is merciless, and it can sustain life barely. What is his diet out there? What is he snacking on? Anyone remember from the scripture I read about, what, how many minutes ago? He's eating bugs and honey, the kind of thing where, you know, like, you come, it's like a crusty mass of glop in his beard, and it's like, oh, man. He lives there barely. So much easier to die in wilderness. But that's why prophets would seek it out. It was what the prophets called Bamidbar, which has many meanings in the Hebrew, but one of them is it's the space beyond. It's the space outside of the reach of our control, both a dangerous realm and a place of liberation. Wilderness is where prophets fled when they were oppressed. Wilderness is where the people of Israel had to wander after they fled from Egypt. And that's why it was evoked by the prophet Isaiah, who takes a look at how messy the world is, how broken people were in their comfort, and says, out there in the wilderness, in this wilderness that's even within us, there is a new possibility of a way of being that God wants us to embrace. That wilderness is far closer to us than we think. And this proclamation is for those who feel themselves in a wilderness place. I mean, sure, the quote in Mark has it, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, and we picture it's John way out there in the wilderness proclaiming, and we in our comfortable place hearing. But the English translations mess that up a little bit. There is no punctuation in the Greek that Mark is written in. And the Hebrew of Isaiah that he's quoting makes it clear it's the voice of one crying out, in the wilderness, make a way. In the wilderness, prepare a way. This proclamation is for those who feel that in some way they are living in a wilderness place or time, and saying, there is a way in that place. And if we are honest, even in the comfort of our seemingly solid suburban lives, there can be a surprising amount of wilderness. Because wilderness is that wildness, that chaos, that unpredictability of life, that thing that shatters and challenges. And all of us encounter that. It could be our wilderness, a place of loss that refuses to heal. Our wilderness could be this season meant to bring comfort and joy, but instead only yielding a sense of isolation or stress about expectations or anxiety. A wilderness could be our encounter with the snarling, oppositional, angry chaos of our culture, so often read in tooth and claw, where truth seems to evade us and everyone's energies seem not turned towards healing and understanding, but instead just attacking one another. Our lives do not lack for wilderness. And those wilderness places can test us as truly as the burning sun tested the prophets. But we are told, even in that testing, that how we respond to those times of trial, those wilderness places, is both the measure and the foundation of our faith. How do we respond? We respond together. That's a key word. Because in a wilderness season, whatever our wilderness season might be, if we try to find our way out on our own, that can be a recipe for endless struggle. Here together in this place and in this community, what we are doing is being that way in the wilderness. We have heard. A way needs to be prepared. That's what we're doing. We are seeking that way. We are making that way. We are building that way together. It's not something we are asked to do on our own. And you might say, listening to John, well, he's preparing the way for the Lord. You know, that's God's path that's being set out. very often when I visualize what Isaiah proclaimed, what we hear proclaimed again from John, my mental image has always been, and stupidly, is, all right, here's the wilderness. You get this sort of picture, you know, Four Corners, Arizona, somewhere like that. And there's a red carpet being rolled out, you know, tumbling out across the desert. And, you know, there at the other end of the red carpet, Jesus pulls up in his stretched Escalade and gets out and he's walking down the carpet and the paparazzi are flashing and you're somewhere behind the ropes struggling to get a glimpse, separate from that way that he is walking. But that's not how this way that he taught works. Jesus is inviting us in, inviting us to work together, to hold things together along that path in the way that a family that suddenly finds itself in the jungle in water too deep to swim in helps each other away from the thorns, helps stay in that flow that will take you to that place of safety. Jesus reminds us this is what we are meant to do, to make that way together, and that we are intended to walk that path, to travel that road with him. It's not a road just for him. It's one he wants us to walk with him as friends. In the wilderness, when we find ourselves in wilderness places, trust that there is a way we are called to make together and to walk together with our God. Let that be so for all of us, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Life is full of wilderness places, not just forests and jungles and oceans, but the wilderness that comes from living a mortal life where things don't always work, and where we can feel torn and tossed, where we can feel lost and uncertain. This week, in this Advent season, we hear a message from John the Baptist that says, even in those wilderness places where it feels like we can be torn apart, there is a way that is being prepared. That way is the path that Christ will walk. But it's not just for him. It is a path we are invited to walk through the chaos and the mess and the wildness of our lives. It's a path we are asked to walk ourselves, but also to walk together as we support each other, sustain each other, pray for each other, help each other through those wilderness places to a place of joy and hope and promise. That is what we are preparing for this season. Let that be the path that you walk, you and I and all of us together. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen. Thank you.